this evening, if you'll turn to 1 Peter chapter number 5. And we'll read verse number 8. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. The devil, likened to a roaring lion, and roaring lion, I don't know much about lions, so I did a little research, but not all lions roar. It's typically the leader of the pride that does the loud roaring. Others tend to be a little quiet, or they may roar just to communicate with the leader of the pack. But only lions in a pride will roar. Ones outside the pride won't do that. But it speaks of his leadership in those legions of demons, as Pastor was speaking about this morning. Speaks of his position and his devouring nature. And he walks about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he's trying to find the ones that he can destroy. Now we all, I bet, could recite that verse by heart without ever having studied it. We've just heard it so many times. And we've heard it so many times, yet it doesn't really, there's so many ways that it does not sink in. I mean, if we understood that the devil as a roaring lion walked about seeking whom he may devour, we would order our lives a lot more carefully. If we understood that the world was a place full of landmines, we would order our steps a lot differently. Also, if we understood that as a roaring lion he walks about seeking whom he may devour, we would have more pity for the devoured. I really believe that. We wouldn't say to somebody who had been camping in the woods and had gotten devoured by a bear or some kind of an animal, "What an idiot! I can't believe you got devoured. There must be something wrong with you. You must not be strong enough. There must be something wrong." Well, the Bible says the devil walketh about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Now, I don't necessarily have a lot of pity on so-called lion tamers when they get bit. They've been asking for trouble their whole lives. But as a general rule, our adversary, that's our daily problem, the devil, walketh about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Recently, we, and when I say we, I mean the community of faith, I mean believers. And we lost someone, I believe, devoured by Satan. And it's a tragedy. And there's a lot of different ways that we can look at it, but really, the end of it is, it's a tragedy. It's a sad thing. And as I think about us as believers living in the last days, we of all believers, of all generations, have got to be a people that know how to help those that have been injured, those that have been bitten, those that are in bad shape, a people that are approachable, a people that can be talked to. Certain days after what took place with one of our brethren, I couldn't help but feel an overwhelming sense of responsibility. Not that I had caused it, but that perhaps I don't project an attitude, a aura, a sense of being someone that's helpful to sinners. Someone who can do the work that Christ has sent us to do. And I want us to look this evening a little bit at sin. And the first thing that I want to look at in regards to sin is a proper response to sin. in the community of believers, a response to sin in the community of believers. In 1 Corinthians chapter number 5, the Bible has a lot to say, and I'll miss a lot of it just because it just won't come to my mind. And I'll miss a lot of things that the Bible says about sin. The church at Corinth had unbelievable sin in it. In fact, it says in verse 1, sin that's worse than what lost people do typically. The average lost person has more morale than what these believers were doing. And we're talking about sin. Back up for a moment. We're talking about sin in the lives of believers. Sin in the lives of believers. We don't like to talk about that. And we like to talk about what life was like before we were saved, and God saved us, and then for some reason we pretend to be fine from then on. And we project that pretending to be fine. Well, the church at Corinth couldn't pretend any longer. There were major problems. And in 1 Corinthians 5, verse 1, it says, "It is reported commonly that there is fornication among you, and such fornication as is not so much named among the Gentiles, that one should have his father's wife." It's a really bad situation in the church. Notice the response in verse 2, "And ye are puffed up, have not rather mourned." We have a tendency to go, "I can't believe somebody did that. I would never do that." We tend to have that response mechanism. And he said, "And have not rather mourned." We don't see a lot of that today. People mourning not just over their own sins, but people mourning over other people's sin. People affected and weeping over other people's sin. The Apostle Paul said in his letter to the Philippians that there were those that were the enemies of the cross of Christ, and he says, "I tell you this, even now, weeping." He was affected by it. Sin is a sad thing. Galatians chapter 6, verse 1, all these familiar passages of Scripture. We have a tendency as the church of Corinth to just feel better about ourselves when somebody sins, and not be saddened, not be grieved. Galatians 6:1, "Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual," and I've underlined that because that's a rarity, really is. I preached on this verse a few months ago here. "Restore such a one," and that's an amazing concept that we can restore believers, but you have to be spiritual in order to do it. You can restore believers, but you have to be spiritual to do it. "Restore such a one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself." Considering thyself. Considering that you're just as prone to all of those things. That's what I'm asking us to do this evening, is to consider thyself just as prone. Back in our text where we began in 1 Peter, there, we didn't read verse number 9, I intended to. He said, "Whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions that are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world." These afflictions are common between men, between brethren. 2 Corinthians chapter number 2, after the fallout had happened there in the church at Corinth and they had dealt with the issue, verse 6, "Sufficient to such a man is this punishment which was inflicted of many, so that contrariwise ye ought rather to forgive him and comfort him, lest perhaps such a one should be swallowed up with overmuch sorrow. Wherefore I beseech you that ye would confirm your love toward him. He said, I beg you, I am begging you to confirm your love toward this individual. It's a sad thing in the day that we live in that people don't feel like they can turn to anybody with their difficulties and with their problems. That reflects badly on us. And if there's anything the world picks up quickly on, it's our hypocritical way of judging the sinner and not the sin, and not receiving sinners. The world picks up on that quick, really quick, and they like to bring it up, and they like to rub it in our face and use it against us, and it's true. It's true. It's a problem that we face. James chapter number 5. Pastor's preached on this verse a number of times. Verse 16. Well, let's read verse 15. It says, and the prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up. And if he have committed sins, they shall be forgiven him. Confess your faults one to another, and pray for one another, that ye may be healed. There's a lot of things that verse means and can bring to us. Perhaps the Lord will bring an illness in your life to help you identify areas of improvement. Perhaps also sin, in many cases, is a disease. Many times, sin is so ingrained, so entrenched, that it's a disease of the soul. People need to be healed of that. This is where I take issue with what is called the deliverance movement of our day. The healing that I desire and I long for in our lives, as lives of believers, is not a physical one. It's much better. It's a spiritual one. There are many spiritual diseases, and that brings us to the next point that I want to look at: sin, an illness of the soul. It's an illness. It's a disease. It's a plague that festers, and it begins to fester and infect the soul. And I truly believe that there are those that are completely trapped, believers trapped in a mess that it's their fault, no doubt. But I pity them. I don't get angry at them. I really, my heart truly bleeds for people stuck in sin. And if we're honest with ourselves, there's little areas. There's little places that we're all stuck a little bit. Pastor preached a series about don't get stuck there. And there's places that we're all stuck to a degree. And if we were to really be honest with ourselves, remember we read back in Galatians, considering thyself. Think about yourself for a moment. The tendencies of your heart. You know, I see commercials on TV about those that are addicted to gambling, and I pity them. I thank the Lord that I've never been in an establishment like that, because I know the way my soul is. I pity people that are stuck in horrible situations. Confess your faults one to another. Pray for one another that ye may be healed of these grievous diseases. John chapter 5, verse 14. Pastor mentioned this verse very briefly this morning. After the one was healed there at Bethesda in verse 14, afterward Jesus findeth him in the temple and said unto him, behold, thou art made whole, sin no more, lest a worse thing come unto thee. And again, perhaps the Lord sends some physical diseases to us to alert us of some problems in our life and tries us and brings us to the end of ourselves. But I think there's more to it than that. I think that if you engage yourself in sin, the resulting disease upon your soul is worse than not being able to walk. It's that you can't walk spiritually. It's worse than what he dealt with before. He says, you think this is bad? Wait till you get involved in sin. That's what's really bad. Psalms 38, if you turn there. Again, I say all this because we have got to project a different light concerning ourselves and sin. Sin is just as bad as it's ever been. And it's wicked and we're to hate it. But we need to be careful about how we project ourselves concerning it. Psalms 38. Listen to the grief in the psalmist's voice. I mean, this is a low, grievous spot. O Lord, rebuke me not in thy wrath. And may I say, neither should we. Neither should we. O Lord, rebuke me not in thy wrath, neither chasten me in thy hot displeasure. For thine arrows stick fast in me, thy hand presseth me sore. If you're a child of God, you can identify word for word if you've ever failed, stumbled. I'm sure you have. There's no soundness in my flesh because of thine anger, neither is there any more rest in my bones because of my sin. Every last fiber of my being is at disrest. For mine iniquities are gone over my head as a heavy burden. They are too heavy for me. Oh, I read that, and I pity the sinner. I pity the one that feels trapped. Do you feel trapped? Do you feel stuck in a place that you're in? As I read, as a heavy burden, they are too heavy for me. I hear the words of the Savior say, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. Oh, that someone was there to direct them to the Savior. The one who had saved them from their sin, that was their Savior, still is their Savior. If you're a child of God and you're stuck in sin, and the one who was your Savior still is your Savior, who has been your Redeemer still is your Redeemer. He said, my wounds stink and are corrupt because of my foolishness. I am troubled. I am bowed down greatly. I go mourning all the day long. This is what the Holy Spirit will do in you, working in you to purge out sin. Notice verse 7, for my loins are filled with a loathsome disease. Sin. Sin is a loathsome disease. It takes many forms. Bitterness is a loathsome disease. It starts out as one sin that you feed, and it becomes, after it festers, a loathsome disease. Lust, same way, a loathsome disease. Anger, a loathsome disease. There is no soundness in my flesh. I am feeble and sore broken. I have roared by reason of the disquietness of my heart. Lord, all my desires before thee, my groaning is not hid from thee. My heart panteth, my strength faileth me. As for the light of mine eyes, it is gone from me. My lovers and my friends stand aloof from me sore. It's a lonely place. Because not many people will handle it the way they should. My kinsmen stand afar off. Verse 17, he says, I am ready to halt. I'm ready to be done. I can't go on. I can't go on. That's a difficult place. Sin is a disease. Psalms 103, you know, when we read the Old Testament scriptures, all that was happening was so physical and so much in their flesh and in their life, but we need to read it in light of Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 12, which says, we wrestle not against flesh and blood. Also 2 Corinthians that says the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. We're not engaged in a physical battle. And so when we read Scripture, think spiritually minded. When we think and read in the Old Testament, think spiritually. In Psalms 103, he had great reason to rejoice here, and he says, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgiveth all thine iniquities." I love the line, "And it is well, my sin, not in part, but the whole, is nailed to the cross, and I bear it no more. All of my sin forgiveth," and notice the ETH there. He's continually forgiving all your iniquities. Continually. Notice, "who healeth all thy diseases." Now, are we going to be healed of every physical disease? Absolutely not. I take issue with the deliverance movement. But praise God, every rotten thing that clings to my soul will be taken care of. Amen. "Who healeth all thy diseases." "Who redeemeth thy life." Notice that ETH again. "Who redeemeth." Not redeemed. Though he did redeem you, he redeemeth. "Thy life from destruction. Who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies. Who satisfieth thy mouth with good things, so that thy youth is renewed like the eagles." Sin is a disease. But the Lord Jesus Christ, just as he saved you from your sin, will continue to work in your life and heal all your diseases. We have got to become experts on dealing with sin in the lives of believers, living in the last days. We've got to have words for those that are hurting, words for those that are struggling. And the Bible has so much to say. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, we read this passage a lot. We know in verse 7 the Apostle Paul said that, "Lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of revelation, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan, to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure." He wrestled with a messenger from the devil that constantly beat him up, constantly, I don't know, perhaps reminded him of past failures. I don't know what he did. Constantly troubled him, and the side benefit of that, Satan meant it for destruction, but the side benefit of that is it kept him humble. Made him a humble preacher. Perhaps that gave him his tenderness towards sinners. I don't know. Begged the Lord that it would depart from him, and the Lord just simply said in verse number 9, "And he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee. My strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in mine infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me." The grace of God is sufficient for all of these things. At times it'll give you strength. At times you may still stumble. You may still fall. But it's all covered in the grace of God. Romans chapter number 2. Speaks of judging one another. Verse 1, "Therefore," and this refers to some of the things he was talking about in the previous chapter, "thou art inexcusable, O man, whosoever thou art that judgest. For wherein thou judgest another, thou condemnest thyself. For thou that judgest doest the same things." We may not have acted on all the things that are in our hearts. And there's probably a lot of things that are there that we didn't know were there. Jonah probably didn't know that he would say no right to the face of God and get on a ship and run as fast as he could away from God. Till God put him in the circumstance where God asked him to go to the last place on earth that he wanted to go. And then he found himself giving in to that part of his flesh. When we judge others, we condemn ourselves, because in certain ways we do the same things. Verse 2, but we are sure that the judgment of God is according to truth against them that commit such things. And thinkest thou this, O man, that judgest them that do such things and doest the same, that thou shalt escape the judgment of God? Notice verse 4, or despisest thou the riches of his goodness and forbearance and longsuffering, knowing that the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance? It was the long, long suffering of God that allowed you to come to repentance. Why do we lose patience with other people? We have got to project a different attitude and a different light, not towards sin. We don't need to give up any ground at all on sin. But we need to be careful how we deal with sinners. Sin is a disease of the soul. And if you're here and you're stuck in that disease and in that place, read Psalms 103. There is one that just as much who saves lost souls as heals saved souls today. The same one that brings them to life can restore your life. And Galatians chapter 5 tells us to, in verse 15 through 17, to walk in the Spirit, and you shall not obey the lust of the flesh. You can't fight sin on your own. You need the Holy Spirit of God. And if you walk in the Spirit, He'll help you to defeat this flesh, to bring it into subjection, but you'll not do it apart from that. He says there, and these are contrary to one another. The flesh and the Spirit are contrary to one another, so that ye cannot do the things that you would. Understanding this disease and understanding this battle and understanding that the devil walks about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour, we need to be careful of our attitude towards sinners. And if you're stuck in sin, there is a remedy. It's the same remedy for all sin. It's the Lord Jesus Christ, the same one. If you're here and you're lost and stuck in sin, same remedy, the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the only remedy. You don't need anything else. There's nothing else. Just like that woman this morning that had suffered many things and many physicians, there's only one remedy for lost sin. There's only one remedy for saved sin. It's the same remedy, the Lord Jesus Christ.